Friends, when discouragement comes, when you get a bad health report, when your career hasn't gone perhaps the way that you thought it would have gone, when you think God has somehow in your life has forgotten you, when you're struggling with perhaps a particular sin in your life, when discouragement comes, what is your greatest source of hope? Sometimes people find their greatest source of hope in other people. Sometimes they find their greatest source of hope perhaps in their abilities, how smart they are, what they can do, perhaps what other people can do as well. Well, friends, the answers and the answer to where the source of our hope should be is shown in a particular book that we'll look at tonight in a couple of verses from that. It's shown in the book of Zechariah. And what's interesting about this book, and particularly this prophet, is that it's in what Zechariah tells us that our source of hope should lie. So if you have your Bibles, if you don't mind turning with me to Zechariah chapter 13, I'll be reading verses 1 through 2, and then particularly looking at, as you saw it on that handout, verse 2. And as you're turning there, it's a little bit of context before we get into this. Zechariah, this is the longest of the minor prophets, and Zechariah began prophesying about 520 BC, the time of Haggai, the other prophet. And in this book, which is interesting to me, Zechariah presents sort of an interwoven fabric of past, present, future events. It's a difficult book to read in some ways. And yet, if you pull on this book like you would perhaps a string or a thread on a sweater, and you pull on this book, you pull up on it, and seemingly all the pages of Scripture start to pull together in some way. It's one of the most cited books in the New Testament. And if you get a chance to read this book in its entirety, you'll see that. There's a lot of imagery in this book that's drawn on. And as a sweater is pulled, or as a thread is pulled on a sweater, we begin to see sort of how this book starts pulling together some themes and parts and pieces of the Scriptures themselves. Like Haggai, Zechariah exhorted the Jews who returned from exile. They'd returned from exile from Babylon to Jerusalem. And like Haggai, Zechariah is encouraging them to start rebuilding the temple again, to get going, to pick up the work from where they left off. And yet upon their return, at first, the people seemed to be greatly encouraged. I mean, they had a governor in Zerubbabel. They had Joshua, the high priest. And at first, they seemed to have great hope. And yet, over time, well, things in that glorious restoration that was expected, well, things didn't go quite the way that they had started to plan them to. And over time, this great hope, well, it didn't quite materialize. So, naturally so, as we all would, well, they become discouraged along the way. And with that discouragement began their pull of their own hearts away from God. And so, Zechariah is sent as to a discouraged people with a particular message. Once again, it's invoked in all these visions, but if you kind of boil this down, he has this particular message to these people who are greatly discouraged about what is God doing? What next? And Zechariah's message is both a message of warning and comfort. And he's reminding them, and friends, I think reminding us as well, that their greatest source of hope, well, it's not in the government. It's not in their abilities. It's actually in who God is. So if you don't mind reading this passage with me for a second. This is chapter 13 of Zechariah, verses 1 and 2. And on that day, there will be a fountain open for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from their sin and uncleanliness. Verse 2. And on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, so that they shall be remembered no more. And also, I will remove from the land the prophets and the spirit of uncleanness. Friends, one of the things that we see that Zechariah focuses in on, and perhaps will help us in our own discouragement as well, is that Zechariah focuses in on the fact that this hope of who God is in our discouragement is oftentimes grounded in these two central things in the Scriptures. It's in God's name, which is linked to his character, and it's in his promises. So the first thing we see is that Zechariah says, in this day declares the Lord of hosts. Zechariah uses this phrase, the Lord of hosts. As a matter of fact, all these post-exile prophets use this phrase. And it's an interesting phrase that he is the Lord of hosts. The first times we see this in 1 Samuel. As a matter of fact, it's in this particular scene in 1 Samuel with David and Goliath, where David goes out before Goliath, and he makes this declaration that he goes out before them in the name of the Lord of hosts. Friends, oftentimes in the Scriptures, we see that God's name was actually tied to his character. And this phrase, the Lord of hosts, is used multiple times here. And in some sense, it has this sort of military sense to it. But what we see actually is, I think, is that Zechariah using this phrase over and over and over again is a great reminder to the people who are in exile after all these years, well, that the Lord was there, and he is there, and that the Lord's fighting for them. Note this pronoun that gets used over and over by Zechariah on behalf of the Lord, that I did this, I'm doing this. And Zechariah is not saying that in the sense of I meaning himself, but I in the personal sense that the Lord is doing these things. This title, the Lord of hosts, bespeaks of God's character as the sovereign Lord over all things, both on earth and in heaven. And that nothing, friends, that nothing the sovereign Lord that's put in front of him, nothing will thwart his ways. Brothers and sisters, when trouble and uncertainty and discouragement come to all of us, are you trusting in this God and his character, that he's the sovereign Lord, and that nothing is too hard for him? Even Zechariah's name, meaning the Lord remembers, even the Lord sending Zechariah to them is a reminder to these people, to these discouraged people, that he's not forgotten them. In some way, friends, and in the same way, brothers and sisters, the Lord's not forgotten you in the midst of your discouragement either. The second thing is that this hope in discouragement, well, it's not found only in God's name, which is part of his character, but also in his promises as well. And in particular, about God's promises, that any time that God promises something, he never holds anything back in those promises. He says things like this in verse 1, that the fountain opened to cleanse. Or in verse 2, that I will cut off the names of idols. I will remove the prophets and spirit of uncleanness. When God does something, he does it utterly. And friends, he does it completely as well. Brothers and sisters, we see in this passage that God holds nothing back. He holds nothing back, as we see here, when he shows his wrath to sinners and judges them for their guilt and shame. He holds nothing back in his judgment, which is utter and complete. He holds nothing back from us who are idolaters, who turn our hearts to other things. And he is just when he does those things. And yet, friends, as his people, well, we also know this about God as well and his promise, that God holds nothing back when he shows mercy to the sinner, such as us. He's redeemed us from our guilt and our shame. And that his forgiveness, well, friends, his forgiveness is complete and it's utter. It's to the very point. It's to the very end. Friend, God's cleansing of his people knows no boundaries. And perhaps this is we have our greatest hope. If you push down further, hopefully you'll do this tonight, perhaps this week, read the rest of this chapter in Zechariah. He hinges this, he links this up to this shepherd who eventually will come and be struck. This shepherd of whom that Ryan spoke of this morning. This shepherd that will come in the form of a baby, who will live a sinless life, who will die on the behalf of those who have placed their hope in him, who have repented and turned from their sin to him. Ryan quoted this morning that we need this struck Messiah. We need this Jesus. We need this truly God, truly man. Otherwise, as Ryan said, we have absolutely no hope, which is the ultimate sense of discouragement. Friends, even the worst of sinners can enjoy this hope of complete cleansing that we see in the Scriptures. So when disappointment comes, where do you find this source of hope? Where is that? You know, at the end of this prayer, at the prayer request, when it was mentioned about Luella passing away this afternoon, I had not obviously planned all that out of how I was going to end that, how that was going to perhaps sync up with that prayer request. Friends, one of the things I've learned as I've gotten older is this part of discouragement, that we can either run from God, or we push further into his character and nature. About 7 years ago, my dad died of cancer. And prior to that death, I also sat by his bedside. I was on one side holding his hand. My mom was on the other side holding his other hand as well. I've never seen anybody die before. And I saw my dad breathe in and out, in and out, in and out. And it got shallower and shallower. And I literally saw him take his last breath. There's an intensity, obviously, in those moments. But friends, what sustained both my mom and I in that moment, yes, was the fact that our great faith in this great God. But I have to tell you that part of it happened prior months to that event taking place. If you've had cancer, if you've had people in your family members in your life, you know what that's like. It's a roller coaster ride. A good report, a bad report, a good report, and bad report. I'd get phone calls at school where I teach. My dad would be in the car, my mom would be driving, and my dad would be on the phone with me. It would be a bad report that he got, and the cancer had done this. And I would be upset. My dad would always say this. Every phone call with my dad would end this way. He would say, "Son," and I would say, "Yes, sir." And he'd say, "The Lord is good, and he does good." And I'd say, "Yes, sir, he does." Friends, I pray that when discouragement comes, and it will come, that you remember that this sovereign Lord is good, and that you can trust him, just like the people the time of Zechariah. Let's pray.